Hello again, and welcome to the June edition of What Comes Naturally from Paxton Pitts Nature Reserve. And today we're looking for dragonflies. We all know that a pond adds tremendous interest to your garden. Obviously frogs come in and newts and all that sort of thing, but it's a big magnet for all sorts of other wildlife as well. And I'm lucky at Paxton Pitts Nature Reserve because I've actually lost count of how many ponds I've got. For a lot of wildlife, you need quite small bodies of water that are not stuffed with fish that suck everything up. And they're not so attractive to predators that might come along. So I've come down to one of the lakes here looking specifically for dragonflies and damselflies. So let's start with what's the difference? Which are the damselflies and which are the dragonflies? The little skinny dragonflies that you see around your garden very often and around the hedgerows sunning themselves and catching little midges are damselflies. They're very slim, much slimmer than the dragonflies, and they fold their wings back along their body when they're at rest. That's the easiest way to tell them. And most of them are blue or blue and black. The dragonflies, on the other hand, are much more variable, much bigger, maybe the length of your finger or more, and quite sometimes nearly as fat as a finger as well. Most of them are browny, orangey or greeny, or some of them are blue. And there are some red ones too, so they're the most variable ones. And some of them don't stray far from water, and others are much more adventurous. And later in the summer, you'll see migrant hawkers around your garden or around the woods, nowhere near water. And these are ones that come up from Africa and actually die here. They don't breed in Britain at all, but they just come migrate all the way up to us. Migrant hawkers are the most inquisitive ones as well. They come and have a look at you. So let's start with the damselflies that I can see today. I've come down to the pond. I found a few skinny ones around the water lilies. I'm going to look at them with my binoculars because they're a bit far away to identify. And a good tip is if you're buying binoculars, get ones that can focus really close so that you can look at something that's quite small but not far away from your toes. That's the way to look for dragonflies. And I think the one I'm looking at now, it's got a black head and a blue body. Let's just have a look through the bins at its eyes, because I think this is going to be the revealing thing. Let's just focus up. And yes, they've got red eyes. So it's a red-eyed damselfly. Actually, we have two sorts of red-eyed damselfly here. We've got the small red-eyed damselfly as well, and they're really hard to tell apart. But if it's got red eyes, you know, you're onto it, really. And they like to hang out on the vegetation that's just sticking out of the water, things like hornwort and water lilies, and sit there for ages. And they'll make little flurries off to find a mate or to go and catch food. But they're generally not very active like a lot of the other damselflies. The one that you'd expect to see lots of is common blue. But actually at the moment, in early June, it's the azure damselfly we're seeing. They're really hard to tell apart. You need to get yourself a book. Or when you take photographs of them, you can actually identify them from the photographs easier than you can by standing here and looking at them. It's all to do with the pattern on the first joints of the tail, just behind the body. It might be shaped like a lollipop, and that would be a common blue, or it might be shaped like a wine glass, or it might be shaped like a letter U, and there are lots of species involved. But the easiest ones are red-eyed, azure, common blue, and blue-tailed, which has got a black body with a blue tip to the tail. Those are the ones we're seeing at the moment. We get large red damselfly at this time of year, and at the riverside we've got a damselfly that's blue with white legs, flattened, hairy sort of white legs, and that's a white-legged damselfly. So quite a few, aren't there? The one that really attracts a lot of attention by the river, because this one only really breeds in slightly flowing water, is the banded damosel. Damosels are longer-legged, more dainty, bigger than damselflies, but not as big as dragonflies. And this one's a metallic greeny-blue with big dark, the male has big dark patches on his wings. Now I'm going to break off now because something really exciting has just flown in front of me. I can try and get a photo of it, and then I'm going to talk to you again. Of course I failed to get a photograph of it because it was a dragonfly flying, and trying to keep a bead on something that's flying around like a demented helicopter is quite tricky. But it's not just any dragonfly, it was a Norfolk hawker. Now this is a big browny red dragonfly with bright green eyes, that you'd have to go to the Norfolk Broads to see normally, but a few years ago it colonised Paxton Pitts Nature Reserve and we're very excited about it. Lots of photographers come here just to see that. It's not the first dragonfly that comes out in the year. We've had hairy dragonflies, and then these Norfolk hawkers have emerged about the same time as the four spotted chasers and scarce chasers. These are all ones I've seen today. So we've got quite a good selection and more to come, because we'll get brown hawkers later and we'll get the big emperors, the big blue ones, coming out as well before long. In front of me, to make it easier to photograph, there's the skin of a Norfolk hawker attached to the plants. In fact, there's dozens of them in front of me. So that's a really good sign, because they're very vulnerable when they come out, you know. Dragonflies and damselflies both lay their eggs in the water, and you'll see the females ovipositing. That's laying their eggs, dipping down, laying their eggs on the plants or even straight into the water. And then the larvae, when it hatches, will live maybe 2 or 3 years underwater, sometimes 4 years in cooler climates. They have a whole unhingeable lower jaw that comes out like a crab's pincer and grabs their prey. And they can retreat backwards or forwards, because they can be jet propelled. They can squirt water out through the end of their tail. But when they want to hatch, they climb up the plant and then the skin splits down the back and the adult dragonfly emerges. And so all around the plants around me, there are these left behind skins called exuvia. Things like, well, house sparrows here will try to pick them up as they're hatching. And we've had the house sparrows take quite a lot of them, and there's sometimes piles of wings on the ground here. Then the danger's not over for them after they hatch either, because up in the sky you might get a bird called a hobby, which is like a very slim, swift-like kestrel, which takes dragonflies. That's their main food in the summer. So they've got it pretty tough, but they seem to be increasing this year. There are definitely lots more of these Norfolk hawkers here than last year. The plant that these Norfolk hawkers seem to be sticking around is water soldier. It was introduced here apparently by one of the old fisheries managers, who thought he could sell a bit of it down the garden centre for people's ponds, and it spread and covered about half the lake. You almost looks like you could walk on it at this time of the year. And then later on in the winter it sort of disappears because it sinks. So if you imagine something like the top of a pineapple floating and making a great mass covering the whole bay, that's great habitat to hide out in if you're a dragonfly or a baby fish or anything like that. And then this whole lot, if the wind changes direction, could drift across the lake and go the other way. And then every now and again, the whole lot sinks and sits on the bottom of the lake, especially in the winter, and comes up again. It's quite a... Well, it does look just like what I said. It looks like a big pineapple head. And the fishermen hate it, obviously, because it makes it very difficult for them to fish when the lake's covered with this stuff. But these dragonflies seem to love it. This is one of the unusual places west of Norfolk where they occur, where this plant occurs. Down among the leaves of the water soldier, in the heart there, you can see all sorts of creepy crawlies that are making use of it, little spiders and things running about. And right at the base of some of them, there's a lovely little white flower. For such a big leafy plant, you'd expect a bigger flower, but it's actually quite small. A pretty little white thing. But don't put it in your pond, it'll take over completely. Now, one of those Norfolk hawkers went down into that jungle in the base of the leaves just now, so I suspect it's laying eggs down there. But, you know, it's gone down in there and I can't see it. If you're interested at all in dragonflies, get yourself out there and have a look. Or next time you just bump into them when you're walking the dog or taking a walk along the river, try and get a picture, or just try and remember what you've seen and look them up, because there's so many different kinds, it's fascinating. The National Dragonfly Centre is at Wicken Fen Nature Reserve in Cambridgeshire, and you can go and visit them, or you can look them up online and get lots of information about damselflies and dragonflies from them. But I'm going to walk back to the visitor centre and make a cup of tea. So cheerio for now.